as we talk this morning about promises in the dark, listen for these words, seeking promises in the dark. See if you know who's speaking them. Since 49 or 59 years old, I've had a terrible sense of loss, told of darkness, this loneliness, a continual longing for God. It gives me pain deep in my heart. Darkness, so much I can't even see, not with my mind or my reason. The place of God in my soul is blank. Do you know who wrote those raw and kind of authentic, pretty authentic words? She was 5 and a half when she received communion for the first time. And she later wrote that was love she experienced in that sacrament. She felt called to enter as a missionary at 12 years old, but decided she'd talk about it with her family for the next 6 years. She was 18 when she left for Bengal. And her mother, she was the youngest of the children, mother gave her this blessing. Put your hand in Jesus' hand, and you'll always walk with him. So you know part of this story. She embraced a life of teaching, educating girls in a medium school for 17 years. She was 36 years old when she received a call within a call. That's how she described it. Riding on a train out of town for a spiritual retreat, she experienced the presence of Christ saying, "Satiate the thirst of Christ on the cross." And over time came to understand her call was to be with those as they were dying. She founded the Sisters of Charity, serving others and inspiring you and me and all kinds of folks to do the same. If this words, the words I read about loneliness and darkness, were her words. Because for approximately 40 years, since knowing that light and presence, she experienced darkness. She said, "I don't think God wants me anymore. I don't think God wants me anymore." She wrote, "I can't lift my soul to God." And in the midst of this incredible work, she knew darkness. This, I think, was the kind of darkness we heard about in Genesis 15 that Abram knew as well. Abraham, who knew and heard God. Abram, who left when he was called. Abram, generous of spirit, shone through when there was infighting with his nephew Lot. There's some groaners, I know. Abram, who heard God multiple times, that the descendants would exceed the dust and the stars, would exceed the east and the west, the north and the south. Abram, who believed God's promises, he too knew darkness and despair in the center of those promises. I think for you and me, once we've encountered God, we want each and every moment to be filled to overflowing with God's presence, with reassurance, and with call. Abram hears the call multiple times, God covenanting with him again and again and again, God never leaving him. And he still, hear me again, still knew darkness and despair, fear and loneliness, rock bottom and falling. I have a deep sense that it's not just Abram and Mother Teresa who've known this kind of darkness. It's you and it's me. all of us who've been there or are living there right even now. It's you and me as we're waiting for test results to come back. It's when we put on that strong face and we say it's going to be just fine, even though our brains have raced through any number of worst-case scenarios and incredible horrors that we'd prefer not to share. The darkness feels closer than the promises. It's you and I when we've messed up, but good, and we're scrambling to fix our mistakes and solve all of the problems. We work hard at untangling the messes we find ourselves in. But shame and disgrace cloud our view, and the darkness feels closer than the promises. It's you and me when we feel utterly alone in a crowded room. It's you and me when darkness is stronger, we think, than our hope, and we're not sure what comes next. It's you and me when we feel unanchored, challenge after challenge, catastrophe after devastation, when it feels just like pile on. It's you and me when we want to work with other people, when we want to care well for one another, but feel paralyzed about exactly how to do it. You and I, we could call it suffering, and we could call it pain. We could call it anxiety or fear, the forces of evil, powers and principalities, devil, Satan, internal, external. But when we've touched the darkness, we know what it is that Abram's experiencing when the terrifying darkness surrounded him. It's you and me when we numb that kind of pain, when we deny there's any kind of darkness at all, when we avoid the silence, when we don't want to combat the hard stuff, and when we don't engage the pain. Maybe it's you and me when we numb the pain with drink or fill our calendars to deny the loneliness or talk too much so that we don't have to listen to what others are saying, when we fight the wrong fights, and when we try not to think too hard. But my friends, like Abram, and like Mother Teresa, God has never left us. In fact, God's promises are like Abram told to us again and again. God is made known to us in grace and abundance out of a desire to redeem the darkness with the light. You see, in Luke's gospel, that's where Jesus is when he's speaking to the crowds that have gathered. And he says, "Don't be afraid, little flock," with incredible tenderness of thousands of people gathered around. "It's God's good pleasure, delight, to give you the kingdom. So act like it's already here. Sell your possessions, share with others, give freely, prepare for God's kingdom. For whatever it is that you give your time and your treasure to, that will be your treasure. Where your treasure is, that shows your true heart." So for Abram, his treasure was the incredible, impossible promise that he who had no children would be the father of many nations, as many stars in the sky and dust on the ground. He who feared his progeny would be based on a household servant, clung to that seemingly unkeepable promise that he and Sarah would have children and grandchildren too many to count. For Mother Teresa, her treasure was that in the darkest moments, the ones we only heard about after she died, that she clung to Jesus. She writes, "Every time I wanted to tell the truth that I had no faith, the words didn't come. My mouth remained closed. So I kept smiling at the God who did that. Smiling at the God who didn't let her say she had no faith. For you and me, the stars of Abraham's night are still twinkling in our eyes. You and I, proof that God kept God's promises to Abram, and the vastness of the sky that could make us think we're so small in the grandeur of it all, reminds us that light shines even in moments and seasons of darkness. You see, my friends, the God who never left us is present, making promises to us, not just in the dark, but especially in the dark, signs of hope and commitment. These promises are the ribbon cutting for the cave that you sometimes feel like you live in. Embrace. God has given you incredible treasure in life, acknowledging that even in the darkest cavern, the light of Christ shines and is not overcome. This, my friends, is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.